Penguin Random House Audio presents Lovesick Blossoms by Julia Watts. Read for you by Bailey Carr. For those who cleared the path for us. 1953. Chapter 1.
Boots, Ms. Elizabeth said. Tell that wife of yours she's got to let me do something with her eyebrows.
Boots gestured in Samuel's direction with his gin and tonic.
She's sitting right there, Mama. You tell her.
Ms. Elizabeth pursed her fuchsia lipsticked lips, the print of which now decorated the rim of her cocktail glass.
You're the one who should tell her. You're her husband. She'll do what you say.
Boots smiled, a little moo.
That's a logical fallacy if I ever heard one, Mama. B does not follow from A, not any more than it did with you and Daddy.
The difference is,
Ms. Elizabeth said, taking a cigarette out of a silver case and waiting for Boots to light it.
Your daddy always thought I did what he said.
She leaned toward her son's proffered Zippo.
You young people are different.
More different than you know, Samuel thought. And in Boots's case, not even that young, but Ms. Elizabeth had reached the age where anybody under the age of 60 might as well be riding a tricycle and licking an all-day sucker. Boots was 52, but still his mama's baby. Sitting there at 5 o'clock in what still got called the parlor, halfway through her first gin and tonic, Samuel tried to imagine how she and Boots must look through Ms. Elizabeth's eyes. Boots was what Ms. Elizabeth had made him, wearing the same seersucker suits. Today's had stripes the color of orange sherbet, along with the cowboy boots that had given him the nickname he'd had since childhood. But Samuel knew that she herself was a puzzle to Ms. Elizabeth, a confusing assortment of choices that would make no sense to a woman who prided herself on being a lady, who wore high heels and stockings in her own house. Why would Samuel choose to use her mother's maiden name instead of the perfectly lovely first name she'd been given, Catherine? Why did Samuel insist on wearing her hair in the same straight bob she had worn as a child? Why the boys' jeans, the baggy button-down shirts, and the penny loafers? Samuel knew if she tried to explain herself to Ms. Elizabeth, it would only confuse her more.
What do you want me to do with my eyebrows, Mama Liz?
Samuel asked, shaking a cigarette from the pack on the coffee table.
Dye them? Give them a curly permanent? Oh, now you're just being silly,
Ms. Elizabeth said, smoothing out the skirt of her rose-colored dress. Impeccable. Ms. Elizabeth always looked impeccable.
You know I want to pluck them.
Just like a chicken,
Boots said. Ms. Elizabeth rolled her eyes at her son's comment.
I tell you what, Mama Liz, Samuel said, draining her cocktail and holding out her empty glass for Boots to refill. Why don't you have another gin and tonic?
The more you drink, the better I'll look.
Boots hooted with laughter.
It's a tried and true beauty secret.
Well, all the same, I believe I'll pass,
Ms. Elizabeth said.
If I didn't know better, I'd think you children were trying to get me tiddly. Besides, I need to keep a steady hand in case you change your mind about me taking the tweezers to you, Missy.
Supper was always at 6. Before Priscilla left at 5 to fix supper for her own family, she always made sure their food was ready and kept warm on the stove or in the oven. Tonight was smothered pork chops, mashed potatoes, turnip greens, and cornbread. Jars of pickles and chow chow and preserves sat on the table beside a sweating glass pitcher of iced tea. Ms. Elizabeth always switched to tea at dinner. Samuel and Boots often worked in a third cocktail, but drank iced tea too. It was two-fisted drinking, with one hand temperate and one hand tipsy, that Boots had once compared to those rough boys who have good tattooed on the knuckles of one hand and evil on the other. Ms. Elizabeth had to know that Boots and Samuel did not have a typical marriage. The 28-year age difference between them was just the start. However, Samuel figured that Ms. Elizabeth was so relieved that Boots had finally found a wife, any kind of wife, that she wasn't going to ask too many questions. Boots had been Samuel's English professor at Millwood College for Women,
which was just up the street from the home he and Samuel and Mama Liz now shared. Samuel had grown up two towns over, the daughter of a mill worker and a housewife, and had come to Millwood on a full academic scholarship. She was the first member of her family to enroll in college. Boots had been her freshman English teacher, and she thought he was the most glamorous person she had ever met. Unlike the men in her hometown, he took pains with his appearance. His hands were soft, and his nails were clean and neatly trimmed. The color of his bow tie always matched the stripes in his seersucker suit. Boots was the author of a novel, This Quiescence of Dust, which had received a glowing review in the New York Times and had landed him on several lists of promising young writers. He dropped names in class, like Miss Flannery and Miss Eudora, which always made the hair on Samuel's forearms prickle with excitement. After Samuel turned in her first paper in Boots's class, he had asked her to come see him in his office. She went there in a cold sweat, afraid she was in trouble because the essay she had written, about the horrific beating of a shy, bookish boy in her hometown, was too frank, too brutal to write about for a class. But instead, once she had accepted Boots's invitation to sit down across from his huge, polished walnut desk, he picked up her paper and said,
"This is good. Remarkably so for someone of your limited age and experience. Have you ever thought about becoming a writer?"
Samuel feared she might embarrass herself by crying. "It's all I've ever wanted to be," she said. She spilled all of it. The stories she had started writing when she was 7, the dozens of composition books she had filled with stories, some pretty good, poems, none any good, and ideas. Boots had looked her up and down, then looked back down at her paper.
"Well, between the two of us, I think we can make that happen."
Samuel had felt a pleasant, inflating sensation, like she was a balloon being filled with helium so it could float up into the clouds. She had never received admiration from someone she admired, had never had a knowledgeable teacher so generous in sharing that knowledge with her. It was new and exciting, a kind of love. It was a kind of love, too, she felt now, living with Boots and Ms. Elizabeth in their family home in the row of fine old homes that lined Main Street. The three of them eating supper together at the kitchen table was cozy, especially with the gin making Samuel feel convivial, and Priscilla's cooking was good and plentiful, a contrast to the meals when Samuel was growing up, when there had been just enough to eat but no more. Having meat at every meal still felt like a luxury. After supper, they went back to the parlor where Boots poured them each a sherry and put a record on the turntable. It was always opera. Tonight was Maria Callas in Aida. Silence was the rule when listening. There was no talking, even when Boots got up to flip the record from side A to side B. Ms. Elizabeth sat in the crimson wing-backed chair, sipping her sherry. Boots stretched out on the camelback sofa, closing his eyes as he listened, and Samuel sat in the rocking chair, listening too, but also watching her husband and mother-in-law as they listened. Sometimes when Callas hit a high note, Boots's hand would fly up to his heart as though such beauty would be the death of him. Miss Elizabeth retired to her room after the sherry and the record were finished. Samuel and Boots waited until Miss Elizabeth had made her way up the stairs and closed the bedroom door behind her before speaking.
"It's Friday night, Missy," Boots said. "What kind of trouble do you reckon we should get into?"
"You want to call Carlisle?" Samuel asked. Carlisle Cox was a librarian at the college and a wicked-witted drinking buddy of theirs.
"Oh, Carlisle's in Lexington this weekend, getting into way worse trouble than we could in this little old town. You've got to watch those librarians. The reason they're so quiet is they're always plotting something."
Samuel considered. "Anything good on at the Hippodrome?" Boots crinkled his nose like he was smelling something unpleasant.
"A Western."
Samuel didn't mind Westerns. She had played cowboy a lot as a kid, but she knew that if a movie didn't feature glamorous people in beautiful clothes, Boots wouldn't sit through it. "You want to grab the gin and go out to the guest house?"
"The gin and the tonic and the ice, you heathen,"
Boots said.
If it weren't for me, you would descend to utter savagery.
I'm pretty sure you're...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?